Good morning. We are Lots of Love Ministries, and we build on the rock of Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today's message is going to be in a slightly different format than what I usually share. Today, my message is going to be in a question-answer style, Q&A form. I pray that you learn some valuable lessons in communication and people skills. My son is here to help me. He's going to ask the questions and then I will answer them. So the first question we want to talk about is,
things aren't going like I thought it would. Did I miss it?
Well, there are several key figures in the Bible who initially felt that they had missed God's plan and call due to unexpected circumstances or outcomes. Here are a few examples. Joseph. Joseph's life took a dramatic turn when his brothers sold him into slavery. Before becoming a successful leader in Egypt, he likely wondered how his youthful dreams of leadership relating to his brothers fitted with his new reality. Yet God used these unexpected events to position Joseph to save his family during a famine. Moses. Moses tried to deliver the Israelites from the Egyptian oppression in his own strength, but this ended in failure and exile. 40 years later, God called him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses had to adjust to a new plan and timeline, far different from his initial expectations. David, after being anointed king as a young man, David spent years in hiding as King Saul sought to kill him. He had to reconcile his initial calling with the years of danger and uncertainty that followed. The disciples. Jesus' disciples expected him to establish an earthly kingdom. Jesus' arrest, crucifixion, and death seemed like the ultimate failure of God's plan. Yet the resurrection revealed a far greater purpose and calling for the disciples. Paul. Saul, later called Paul, passionately persecuted Christians, believing he was serving God. His dramatic encounter with the resurrected Jesus forced him to completely reevaluate his understanding of God's plan and his own role in it. These examples illustrate that even when circumstances seem to contradict our initial understanding of God's calling or plan, He can still use these unexpected turns to fulfill his purposes in our lives. It often requires patience, trust, and a willingness to adjust our expectations. Continue to walk in faith and obedience, and you will fulfill your God-ordained destiny. And during this time of dealing with unexpected turns of events, as you journey through life and try to fulfill your destiny, you may encounter the following situation.
Someone is telling you about an unpleasant situation in their life. Should I tell them what they need to do to fix it, especially if they did not ask for advice?
No, you shouldn't tell them what they need to do to fix it. Here's why. They didn't ask for advice. And this is the most important thing. If someone hasn't asked for your opinion on how to handle the situation, it's usually best not to offer it unsolicited. You might not have all the facts. When people open up about their problems, they often don't share every single detail. There might be complexities or nuances that you're not aware of, and your advice could be off base as a result. It can come across as dismissive. If someone is mainly looking to vent about their frustrations, telling them what they should do can come across as flippant or dismissive of their emotions. It's like saying, well, just do this and it'll all be fine, when they're trying to express their feelings. They might already know what they should do. A lot of times, people are aware of the obvious steps they could take to fix their problems. They might be stuck due to lack of motivation or fear of change or other internal barriers. In this case, advice is not what they need. It can put pressure on them. If you start telling people what they should do, they might feel like they're now obligated to follow your advice. This can add to their stress levels instead of reducing them. Empathy is often what they need. When people are upset, a lot of times what they're mainly looking for is someone to empathize with them. They want to feel understood and validated in their emotions. Simply listening to them and expressing that you understand how they feel can be much more helpful than any advice.
So what should you do instead of offering advice?
Well, here are a few suggestions. Just listen. Sometimes the best thing you can do is simply be present for the person and let them express themselves. Show that you're engaged in the conversation through your body language and brief responses that demonstrate you're following along. You know, I took a course, and I teach this course, The Art of Hearing God. And the late John Paul Jackson taught in this course that most problems can be solved if someone just had someone to listen to them. So listening, just listening, can be so, so valuable and help a person solve their problem. So that's the first thing you can do, is just listen. And then ask open-ended questions. Instead of asking yes or no questions, ask things that encourage the person to reflect more deeply on their situation. This can help them come to their own realizations of what they should do. Express empathy. Let the person know that you understand how they feel. Validation goes a long way in making people feel heard and comforted. Offer support. Let them know that you're there for them and willing to help in any way you can. It might be helpful to ask if there's anything specific you can do to assist them. Suggest they seek out a professional if necessary. If the person is really struggling and it seems like they could benefit from guidance, it might be helpful to suggest that they seek out a professional counselor or therapist. These individuals are trained to give advice and can provide much more personalized and qualified guidance than you can.
Well, that sounds like good counsel, but is there anything in the Bible that supports this position?
The Bible does contain some passages that could be interpreted as supporting the idea of not always offering unsolicited advice, and instead focusing on listening, empathizing, and providing support. Here are a few examples. Proverbs 10:19. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. This verse suggests that sometimes it's better to say less rather than more. If someone hasn't asked for your advice, it might be wiser to remain silent rather than risk saying something that could be offensive or unhelpful. Proverbs 15:23. A man finds joy in giving an appropriate reply, and how good is a timely word. This verse highlights the importance of timing when it comes to offering advice or words of guidance. If someone hasn't asked for your input, it's probably not the right time to be giving it. James 1:19-20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. This passage emphasizes the importance of listening over speaking. When someone is opening up about their problems, it's often more helpful to focus on hearing them out rather than immediately reacting with advice or judgment. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. This verse suggests that sometimes the most helpful thing you can do is simply be present with people and share in their emotions. If someone is upset, empathizing with them and expressing that you understand their pain can be much more comforting than offering advice. Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. This verse emphasizes the importance of coming alongside others and supporting them in their struggles. Sometimes this means listening to them, empathizing with them, and offering practical help, rather than always trying to tell them what they should do. It's worth noting that the Bible also contains many passages that encourage believers to offer wise guidance and correction to one another. For example, Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. This suggests that constructive criticism from someone who cares about you can be ultimately helpful, even if it's uncomfortable to hear in the moment. So while the Bible does offer some support for the idea of not always offering unsolicited advice, it also emphasizes the importance of speaking truth into others' lives. The key is probably discerning when it's the right time to offer advice and doing so in a way that's loving, respectful, and constructive.
Continuing with the subject of giving advice, when a person is trying to figure things out and they talk to you or others in their sphere of influence, if offered, how should you offer it? In other words, what words are best to use?
When starting sentences with "you need to" rather than "how can I help," here are some thoughts. The Bible does not directly address the grammatical structure of sentences like "you need to" versus "how can I help." However, it does provide principles about communication, humility, and serving others that can guide our choice of words. Focus on others. The Bible teaches us to look out for the interests of others. Starting with "how can I help" focuses the conversation on the other person's needs, whereas "you need to" can come across as somewhat directive and even accusatory. Humility. Jesus taught that whoever wants to be great must be the servant of all. You can see Mark 10, 42-44 for that. Phrasing things as a question, "how can I help," is a more humble approach. Positioning yourself as a servant, whereas "you need to," can sound more like an order, and giving people orders can sound controlling and manipulative. Gentleness. The Apostle Paul wrote that an answer given in gentleness can diffuse anger. "How can I help?" is generally a gentler way to phrase things, whereas "you need to" is more direct and could potentially provoke defensiveness. Clarity. The Bible also values clarity of communication. If "you need to" is the clearest way to convey the necessary information in a particular situation, it may be the better choice. However, as a general rule, "how can I help" is likely to be better received and more in line with biblical principles of humility, service, and gentleness. While the Bible does not directly address this specific grammatical question, its principle points to "how can I help" as a generally more biblical way to express yourself. Due to its focus on the other person, its humble tone, its gentleness, and its clarity. However, the most important thing is the heart behind your words. Are you genuinely seeking to serve the other person? Additionally, think about the golden rule. It's found in Matthew 7:12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. How do you want people to speak to you when you're in their position? Think about that.
Sometimes you're the one who needs to just work something out in your head by talking to someone else without that person actually trying to tell you what you need to do. You want to work it out on your own, but need a sounding board, not advice. What does the Bible say about that?
Once again, the Bible does not directly address the concept of using someone as a sounding board to work through your own thoughts without seeking their advice. Its principles can still guide us in how to navigate this situation in a way that respects and values the other person. Honesty and clarity. The Bible values honesty and clarity in our communication. You can see Ephesians 4:25 and Colossians 4:6. If you just want to talk something through without advice, it's best to be upfront about it. You might say something like, "I'm trying to work this through. Can I just talk it out loud and not have you try to offer solutions?" Remember to show respect for others. Scripture teaches us to value and respect others. See Philippians 2:3. Make sure you're not burdening the other person or wasting their time. Ask if it's a good time for them to listen and be mindful of how long you're talking. Listening as well. While you may not want their advice, the Bible still teaches us to be quick to listen. They may still offer some helpful insights, even if that's not what you're primarily seeking. Show that you value them by listening to what they do say. Gratitude is a big one. Always have an attitude of gratitude. The Bible instructs us to give thanks in all circumstances. See 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Express your appreciation for the other person's willingness to let you talk things through. A simple thank you for listening can go a long way. While the Bible does not directly address using someone as a sounding board, its principles of honesty, respect, listening, and gratitude can guide us in how to do it in a way that values the other person. The key is to be upfront about what you're looking for, respectful of their time, open to any insights they may offer, and thankful for their willingness to listen. Additionally, while the Bible does not directly address the concept of using someone as a sounding board versus asking for advice, it does provide guidance on seeking input from others and how to interact with them in a way that can speak to this question as well. We want to value the wisdom from others. The book of Proverbs is full of verses emphasizing the value of gaining wisdom from others, such as, "The way of fools seems pure to them. The wise listen to advice," Proverbs 12:15. This suggests that actively seeking advice is a wise thing to do. Speaking versus listening. The Bible teaches us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Using someone as a sounding board involves a lot of talking on our part, whereas asking for advice involves more listening to their perspective. We want to respect others. Scripture commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Mark 12:31. Using someone as a sounding board without their consent or in a way that burdens them can seem a bit selfish and may not be seen as loving or respectful to that person. Asking for advice, on the other hand, respects their time and input. It places the focus on them rather than oneself. And humility. The Bible's big on humility. Such as in Proverbs 11:2, which says, "With humility comes wisdom." Asking for advice is an act of humility, recognizing that others may have valuable insights we have not considered. While at times it may seem necessarily simply talking at someone as a sounding board may not demonstrate the same humility as asking for advice. And finally, the Bible values clear communication. Directly asking for advice is a clear way to show that you value the other person's input, whereas simply talking at them as a sounding board may be less clear about your intentions. Therefore, since the Bible does not directly address this question, its principles suggest that asking for advice is generally a better approach than just using someone as a sounding board. Asking for advice values the wisdom of others, involves more listening, respects others, demonstrates humility, and is a clearer way to communicate. However, the most important thing is your heart. Are you genuinely seeking to learn from others and show them respect? Well, I think that's all I have on this topic today. If you have additional questions related to this topic or any topic, please email them to me at lossofloveministries@yahoo.com, and I will do a lesson to answer them. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the lessons today. Please forgive us for disrespecting others in our communications and help us speak the truth in love while avoiding complaints or drawing others into our negativity without the willingness to receive help in overcoming. Let us say like David, "Set a guard over my mouth Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Help me, Lord, to show respect and empathy to others. Whether I am speaking or listening, let it all be done in love. May we bring honor and glory to you, Yeshua, in all that we say and do. Keep us safe as we do life this week. In your precious name, Yeshua. Amen. Until next time, go in peace and be blessed with shalom in your home.